Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 174, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Do brings my sperm count down, right down. Never go to Pound Town because it's so down. Do brings the Western sperm count down. Like children of men, we're all going down, down. That is courtesy of Abstrusel, the official dickhead. There's so many on Twitter. What an honor to have the official, the blue check mark of dickheads, providing AKAs and... Yeah, that was. I'm shocked it didn't occur to us when we were talking about the West's lowering sperm count that Mountain Dew is probably the culprit.
Yeah,
I am thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Don't go chasing FOMO. Please stick to the people and the pause that you're used to. I know that you're gonna fuck around and find out, but Cuomo, you're just moving too fast. What's up with outdoor dining?
thank you to the interdimensional technician for that one, because yeah, a lot of governors are just ready to fucking, I don't know, set the clock back to January 2020 or some shit. So that is a little frightening.
I think a poet once said that, T.S. Eliot or the guy who wrote Great Gatsby, one of them said that America has no second acts, American life has no second acts, and I think America fucking around and finding out doesn't have the find out part. They just fuck around and then everybody looks the other way while they find out.
People just ignore the finding out part. Exactly. No, we're not finding out. We're not finding out at all.
That's always- Well, we are thrilled to have in our third seat one of the classic guests, the hilarious, the talented Chelsea Weber Smith!
Whoa.
Happy to be here. I don't have
happy
a song.
To have you.
Happy yeah to be here.
Great to have you
we
back.
We are going to speak like this the whole time. What's new in your world, Chelsea?
What is new in my world? I've prepared a couple rants for you guys when the time
love
comes,
okay,
when
yeah
I get to have my personal time. so until then, as usual, I'm going on walks. The most important event in my life is I found a yearbook from 1970, and I've been really like figuring out the relationships between the different characters in this yearbook and, you know, the right queen bee finding out who her boyfriend is. There's a lot of information in this book and looking him up on social media. So just another quarantine
yo,
project.
That's a sick.
It's
idea
a yearbook with the inscriptions.
There are no I figured out that it was like a teacher's or the assistant principal, some old ass dude.
Got it.
How this 1970 yearbook from New Mexico got on the ground in West Seattle is
right
a very cool mystery. But
right
otherwise, tragically, there are no
but you're just
inscriptions. Yeah.
You're getting the interpersonal information mm-hmm from
yep
just like yearbook quotes and shit like that.
Yeah, like, and I mean, they're writing up like, you know, she was the town princess. I don't remember the name. She's the town princess going, you know, going steady with, you know, whoever. And you can really trace sort of the social scene that was happening there. And we've got this amazing emo kid who had like an original swoop, and which wasn't really a popular hairstyle.
Yeah,
I don't think in 1970
back then, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, oh it was feathered, and or it was just yeah, it was all
mopped
feathered
up. Yeah.
Mopped up. But yeah, this kid was like the, you know, the school newspaper editor, and
right
went on to have this amazing quote that was like, he went on to be a psychology major. I looked them up in the newspaper, all these old newspapers.
Wow.
Yeah, it was so fun. And, you know, he said something like, I should have gotten it, but he said something like, he was going to be a psychology major, so he was interviewed in the newspaper for that. And he said, you know, I love watching people, and, you know, I can really understand people by watching them, but I'm different. No one can understand me. And I was like, man,
wow,
high school's the same.
It's because he was presaging the dawn of reality television.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's what,
yeah,
like, how I say, like, I like to watch people and learn through trash TV.
But
right
I did find
me
this person, y'all. I
yeah
did find this person.
You did?
On, well, I think I did. You know,
okay.
I did a pretty, I've been watching a lot of Catfish, so I did a pretty yeah intensive dive into this.
Thorough
and,
legal stalking.
Yeah. Guess what? Gay writer, gay author.
Oh, hell yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh,
just a great
yeah
plot arc for our emo kid. So that's really all I've been
this
doing.
This sounds like a spin-off show from Starly Kine, which is
right
grab a random yearbook and then
yeah
start putting the pieces together and then verify with the people you can track down.
That was what I was hoping to do, but so far nobody's responded
oh
to me. I was like, this would be a great podcast, and then
well
know
here, I'll throw you one from like one of my high school. I'm sure all those
hit
people
it
talk to you.
What is there anything surprising like about the styles or like who what people were into at that time?
I mean, it's pretty boring, you know. It feels
pretty
like
straight up.
Yeah, it's yeah pretty it's like very 50s even though it's 1970, you know. It's
right
just kind of like prim and proper. But there's like some there's a great part where they talk about going to an orphanage to like do some sort of volunteer work. I don't know which group it was. It was some sort of, you know, an after school group. But all they did, they went to this orphanage, and all the little section said was that they gave orphans a stuffed mouse, and it seemed to be a singular stuffed mouse.
They gave
that's
the whole
it was mouse. It wasn't mice.
Right.
So I don't
oh
know
no
if there was just a singular mouse.
We went to orphanage and give mouse.
That was pretty much the article.
Oh.
It was bizarre. It's bizarre.
I feel like the stuff I read about the 60s and 70s when people are doing like myth debunking, it's usually that the kind of what you just alluded to, that it's like more square and more like 1950s than the popular imagination remembers, because everybody was focused on like hippies and the anti-war movement, and then like disco, and like those things were sort of subcultures that were on the outskirts, and everybody else, like a lot of the other people, just had like the same haircut. And you know, the number one song during the Vietnam War period, the best illustration of this that I can think of, is was not anything by Creedence Clearwater Revival. It was Honey, Honey, Sugar, Sugar, You Are My Candy Girl by the Archies. By Archie as a musician. So
yeah, I guess looking back, what the myths will bust is like, look, only some of us were eating ass and into QAnon.
Right, exactly.
Not everyone. It wasn't just that ass eating conspiracy fest. Okay. Some people have work to do. Yeah, I mean, but see, it all depends. And see, that's where we start getting into nuance. But I think overall, this I'm sure I'll tell my kid, this is not a good outfit for your 2020s dress up day.
Right. Yeah, yeah. All right, Chelsea, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about America's two-facedness being all over the place. We're going to talk about Trump's CPAC appearance, which was kind of quiet, subdued. We'll talk about Gab continuing our right-wing social media deep dive, but there's not that much depth. It's just a pretty shallow, this place is not good at being a social network. We'll talk about the right-wing outrage in defense of the Muppets and why that is completely bullshit, because the right actually hates the Muppets and have for a long time. We'll talk about what could be the future of New York City, a future that would make me have to move there. It sounds amazing. Talk about zombies. We'll talk about the new postal trucks, and we will talk about a good old-fashioned American moral panic, kind of a pathetic one, but we do have to talk about it because Chelsea is here. Before we get to any of that, Chelsea, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or what you're up to?
Well, I hope you guys can relate to this because it'll be more fun, but my most recent interesting one is CKY videos. Do you guys remember CKY?
Hell yeah.
Hell
yeah. I
have
CKY2K, the DVD, somewhere in my garage right now.
Bless you. Yeah. So we're working on an episode. And in case people don't know, I host a podcast called American Hysteria, covers moral panics, conspiracy theories, urban legends, fantastical thinking, but through a lens of sort of cultural criticism and sociology and stuff. So not do these things exist, but sort of how does our culture produce these and then how do they affect the culture? So anyway, the way that CKY, which were a series of skate videos by the now famous Jackass crew, that's the most simple way to put it. But we're doing a episode about influencers right now and the culture of like branding people, essentially. And immediately I was like, what's an earlier influencer, like pre-internet? And I was like, oh, it's sponsored skating. And you guys probably remember like how cool it was to be a sponsored skater in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. That was the Twitter verified checkmark.
It was
it opened way more doors.
It was
in the valley
top.
At least.
Yeah, it was like.
Right.
And, you know, there weren't that many for a while. And then the kind of like influencer, micro influencer thing happened. And so I've just been really diving into the history of marketing skateboarding and the idea of like authenticity being so important in branding and how there was like kind of like back then there was nothing as authentic as being just like a fucking skateboarder, you know, because
right.
it was just middle fingers. And weed, and it was...
And shoes that would hide your weed.
Yeah, just the biggest shoes.
Yeah.
It's basically like the platform shoe of the masculine world.
The bro platform.
Yeah, the bro platform. But so that's kind of revealing about at least what I've been doing, and so I've just gotten to go back, and I was a skater in my day, and just to kind of go back and remember just like pushing, like having someone... push someone in a shopping cart and launching them into a bush and just like pranks at the mall and how skate culture and prank culture kind of has led us to a really different thing. But if you think about like the YouTube TikTok houses, like these sponsored skaters were just getting like hauled around the country and just being showered with cash, like 10 grand a month. And just, I don't know, it's so similar to these weird McMansions full of TikTokers, you know, it's just like with
crank
their Wranglers.
Out stuff for the kids to love for
Yeah. And that's kind of what it was. It was like crank out videos, crank out like the most incendiary. I mean, I was like, oh my God, the 90s were so bad. People cannot imagine. And, you know, it's not like I was perfect in 1999. So it's just sort of like a really, it's been just a really fun and fascinating dive back into this really offensive masculine culture that kind of is mirrored in like what, like Logan Paul, I would say, is like some kind of a continuation of Jackass and skate pranks. But that's been, that's my big fun time lately is just watching old skate videos.
The CKY videos definitely had like a panic in like the Christian Catholic mother set, you know, because there was like there was pentagram iconography in some of the stuff and it stood for camp kill yourself.
Yeah.
And like on top of it, it was giving every idiot teenager like the idea to break their wrists at a local parking lot in a shopping cart that you pushed off a loading dock with no sense of what gravity is.
No.
So like, yeah, I remember people being like, oh, like. Like a CKY team was like, oh, you have that? Like, oh, that's sick. Like, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, CKY 2K, I still have that shit somewhere. Shit
go back and watch
up.
It. Go
yeah, because I was like, yeah, yo, Mike Valeli beats up three dudes in it outside of 7-Eleven in this one. And yeah. People were like, what? Because like, it almost, it was like a it was like YouTube on a mixtape.
Right.
You got
that's
skating.
Exactly right.
You got skating, you got pranks, maybe some weird toxic masculinity in the form of like misogynistic tropes or whatever, like dick jokes and fighting.
And gay jokes, lots of gay jokes, lots of racism, like stuff that you're like, oh my God, like the stuff they used to put on the boards even, like print on boards was just like...
Oh yeah, I remember there was like a Chico Benez deck that was like of a like a dude selling like oranges like at an off ramp or something out of a shopping cart, and people were like, oh, it's the sickest deck right now.
Yeah, it's just a really different. It was a shock. It was a really big shock culture time for sure.
Yeah,
we don't have
absolutely.
Well, we have that, but it's just transformed a lot.
So it was named after a band, I guess, and one of the drummer for the band was Jesse Margera. Who is, I guess, Bam Margera's older brother. So it's it also has that, like, sort of how a scene develops in, like, a small town sort of vibe to it.
Right.
Like,
and then suddenly, like, Johnny Knoxville's shooting himself in the chest point-blank range. Like, I just watched a video of Johnny Knoxville just shooting himself in the chest. And he's like, yeah, I didn't know, like, this is the cheapest bulletproof vest I could find. And he's just like, what the fuck? What were we watching?
Yeah.
And those guys, like Johnny Knoxville, was already part of that scene like from the start, or did he kind of jump on it once it
Miles, he wasn't part of the CKY. He came like CKY was its own thing, and then it started got it blended. I don't know through
got
who.
It.
Yeah, that's when I don't know if that's when Spike Jonze decided
to like
marry the two groups together to make Jackass, but I know Spike Jonze was the next
level
for everyone.
He was involved in it. Yeah, he was like really responsible for like weaving in skate culture into like music videos, like Beastie Boys and all kinds of like, you know, everything he was doing, commercials and stuff, just like weaving in skateboarding until it became this like really common trend and it reached zoomies, essentially.
Yeah. Authenticity is so important, and yet like they just pulled that in and made it inauthentic. And
now we're posers.
So I Robert Evans on a recent episode of Bastards with Jamie Loftus about the manosphere and that sort of toxic masculinity, sort of like the alpha, and now there's a sigma male and all that shit. It's a really good episode. But there's a theory they talk about that capitalism is basically a really smart AI that has like basically reached the singularity because it just immediately incorporates and like always makes the right like move to counter whatever attacks it and like incorporates it into its grid or, you know, logic, basically, which makes a lot of sense.
Well, and you know, it was, I mean, we'll talk, we're covering this in our episode coming up, but it's a lot of influencer marketing, as we know, it was actually designed by Freud's nephew. And it's very, I don't know if you guys know about him, Edward Bernays, but it's, we're going to get into that. And it's just really Freudian, like the way that advertising evolved is super entwined with psychotherapy, which is just so creepy.
Right, because consumer culture, it insists on having unhappy people for it to thrive. Like, if you're fully realized and self-actualized, you might not need to reach for these products to be like this constant spend cycle of the advertiser dangling the thing and the lifestyle they think you want and say, if you buy this, then you could be this. And I think that's the other part, is like, it also benefits, you know, this consumer culture, capitalism, to have as many unhappy people as well, because, you know, happy people don't buy as much crap.
Yeah. And then the unhappy people create great art that they can then incorporate into the capitalist slipstream.
Right.
Yeah. It's a it's a great system they've designed. Or that's designed
itself. It's effective.
Yeah, it certainly works.
The other wild thing, just a lot of people don't know this about Spike Jonze. You know, I don't know if you heard of the Spiegel catalog. He comes from this. His name is Sam Spiegel, or whatever Spiegel. And he changed it to Jonze because it was like a very, very famous mail order catalog that was like, you know, huge in like the early 20th century. So, you know, got to change the name around so they don't know you. You know, you a rich boy, Spike.
Right.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know that.
And isn't he with Sofia Coppola? It's like, oh, it's all wonderful. I love it. I love it.
He was. His character was. Giovanni Ribisi in Lost in Translation is his character.
Real name
based
Adam
on
Spiegel.
Him. Yeah. But that's interesting that like he's been part of a marketing dynasty, because
I didn't know that. I'm going to have to weave that in. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's all nepotism and marketing, the two defining forces of America.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to get your overrated and underrated.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And Chelsea, we like to ask our guests, as you know, what is something that you think is underrated?
I'm not going to expand on this much because I have much more to say about the next question, but I'm very into Hacky Sack again.
Fuck yeah.
And it's, and I mean, I think, you know what, it's like been brought up because of watching all these skate videos, I think, and my friend got me a Hacky Sack. And that was something I used to do a lot in middle and high school. I did want to tell you guys this. We snuck through. We had a club called the Hack Club. And, of course, we smoked a lot of weed. And so we made these shirts that said the Hack Club, but it said THC really big.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then it said Shorewood's Finest, Fire It Up. And it snuck through. Somehow the administration didn't figure it out until it was too late, and we had proliferated these sweatshirts all over the school. It was really cool. So Hacky Sack is my one of my truest passions, and people think it's so stupid, and I don't know why. I think it's super cool.
And what is something you think is overrated?
Well, this goes back to what we were talking about before, but brand activism is something I've been thinking about a lot. And, you know, part of our episode focuses on the Kendall Jenner Pepsi scandal that we all remember, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But it got me thinking as I'm watching all of this stuff unfold on Twitter. And for people who don't know, I am non-binary. I use they, them pronouns. And so this week's been real fun for me. But, you know, it's like watching things happen like the potato folks now who are not gendered. And, you know, that whole thing of like, oh, wow. Like, I mean, a lot of people were pissed off and thought it was, you know, super stupid and everything. But I think, you know, it's nice. It's nice, you know. But for me, it doesn't feel authentic necessarily. And I know that 64, this is really important, I think. 64% of millennials, and this is, you know, polls are weird, but this is sort of what companies are banking on is this particular study that says 64% of millennials will buy from brands that their values align, right? So it's like there's a huge amount of money in being a part of movements the way Pepsi tried to sort of exploit the Black Lives Matter protests and everything. And I think what's so interesting is like I didn't ask for the potato heads to not have genders. I mean, they're one, potatoes. Two, you can switch their parts already. So like you can put the high heels
like.
On with the little bowler hat. It doesn't matter. But like I don't think there was like an outcry from trans and non-binary people to do away with the genders of the potatoes. And yet now all of the hate is like falling back on like as if we demanded this and as if we're being totally unreasonable. So it's this like they get to look good and then we get to like carry the brunt, as ridiculous as that may be, from whomever decides to think that that's a horrible or ridiculous or, you know, the left is going too far again thing. But it's like the left did we demand that, or was that just an opportunity that they saw to market to us?
I think it's just it's open for attacks from the right in the, you know, the culture war context, because if you're progressive and you are actually caring about these things, you will say like, oh, that's regressive, or that's aggressive to have this thing just sort of delineated as a binary or whatever, considering that progressive people say. And on generally be like, gender is a construct. Is everybody still with me? Okay, so then therefore, let's look at these things. But I think because they know that to be part of like progressive culture, that it's like, of course they wanted this because everything is gonna. It's like, look, there's a difference between like, like talking about things on how to move forward and trying to paint someone as like a, you know,
Maybe there was someone who had a campaign against the potato heads, but there's certainly larger battles for me to pick than one of the fucking Hasbro.
And also, a lot of trans people use Mr. or Mrs. Like, it's not, it's such a strange, it's just, and I mean, obviously potatoes also don't inherently have genders. I think that they're like self, whatever, I don't know, science isn't my thing.
Self-tubing.
Yeah, there you go. And of course, like, another important thing is, like, I'm speaking for myself. I'm sure that there's lots of queer, you know, gender nonconforming people that think that that's wonderful. And it is, I mean, it's great. But what's great about it is not Hasbro or whatever the company is. It's the fact that they're reflecting back to us our own culture through an unfortunate medium. But nonetheless, we can say, okay, like, this is the direction culture's going, even if it's messy and stupid and shitty and embarrassing.
Right.
And launches us into, like, the spotlight. I mean, we're going to talk about the Muppets, and it's kind of a, you know, it's like a similar type of thing. But yeah, I think brand activism is, you know, I mean, it's overrated because a lot of, I think, more progressive sort of centrist might see that and think that that's just it's just so wonderful, you know, whereas I'm seeing tweets that are just horrible about, you know, and then Oreo's tweets, you know, trans people exist, and it's like, oh, okay, thanks.
Thank you, Oreo.
Yeah. You know,
It's like, Nabisco, what's your policy in terms of your employees if they needed life affirming gender reassignment surgery? Do you kick in on that?
That's it. You know,
they're like, there's no paid leave or anything like that. But the Oreo, well, here, that's the difference. That wasn't Nabisco saying that. That was the cookie talking.
Right. Yeah,
you're gonna have to take that up with the cookie. And I don't think the cookie has benefits or HR, so I don't know.
I feel like it's interesting to view the potato head thing on a continuum with the Pepsi ad, because I feel like the Pepsi ad was an example of the brand trying to appeal to people who have progressive politics, and it just, like, failed miserably because they, first of all, it was just poor, like, horribly handled, but also it's just a more subtle thing to do that. Whereas I do wonder, like, I would love to see a marketing material leak like they had with the logo design for Pepsi, where they were just, like, hosed for $20 million by people who were just, like, throwing out.
Who knew how to use Photoshop?
Yeah, who knew how to use Photoshop? But I wonder if this is part of the calculus at this point, that because the right is just so reliable in its outrage, and you know exactly what is going to happen when you do something that is even remotely progressive in any way, that the right is going, there's going to be an outrage that is incredibly reliable, and that automatically pits you against. So it's like a safer bet to do something that's designed to outrage the right and be safe, as opposed to, like, trying to do whatever the fuck the Pepsi ad was trying to do.
Yeah, I think there is, or it's like, it's just genius troll marketing. It's like, right, watch, but nobody give a fuck about Potato Head. We're going to do this thing. It's going to outrage the right. Every news outlet's going to cover it. And without paying, now even people have heard, whoa, Hasbro's on the right side of the woke wars.
Yeah.
And that's all they had to do, was just piss off the right. And that also seems very, like, a very feasible marketing plan to save money on your ad bucks. Because you see it done with other stuff, too. Like, I mean, it's normally just, like, some sensational product they use to get blocks to be like, oh my god, a log that smells like beef. But, like, with this shit, they can get everywhere, like, just past the toy blogs or food blogs by entering the culture wars and be like, and we're right. And honestly, the people on the right, they just talk shit. What, I still see them drinking Kruig and wearing Nike, so it's really just noise.
Yeah, I want somebody from the marketing world, if any Zeitgang works in marketing and knows, like, I bet there's a term for this, whatever is, like, basically right-wing troll baiting.
It's going to be so euphemistic, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll be like,
organic societal reconciliation strategies or something.
So brutal.
Oh.
All right, let's get into some news. America is, I mean, we've talked about double standards all over the place, but Miles, you had kind of written up a couple places where you're seeing America's double face all over the place.
It's just if it ain't double face, it doesn't belong in your face or whatever the Carl's Jr. thing is. But it's just this whole okay, like I'm, you know, like everything. If you're an aware person who's progressive, you'll find someone to be so outraged in this country without even trying. The first thing was, I was just reading this thing about how these Proud Boys, they're being arrested. Some of them are going to be on conspiracy charges, which carry just really lengthy sentences. And reading some of the actual descriptions of the people that were charged, you know, one guy was prowling around with a fucking axe handle and like threatening to take out police. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this guy didn't get shot. He got in people's faces. You see him in video. Nothing happened. It wasn't, you know, the only person that there's only one person shot and killed by police, like sort of in like the main sort of melee of it. And the quote unquote security around the Capitol looked more like, you know, frosh orientation at a university. You know, it wasn't like a welcome wagon exactly, but it wasn't really like, yo, who are you? What's going on? Who are you? What the fuck you doing here? So then cut to the George Floyd trial is about to kick off in Minnesota. They have already barricaded the courthouse and shut down the street where the court is for a trial that starts in 1 week. In 1 week, they're about to start the trial. And they have already fortified the place of fuckery because they know they're wrong. You know what right. I mean? And the visuals of something like, you can get a lot of intel that, or watch the news that these people are going to storm the Capitol. You could prepare because, whatever, you know, because it's white supremacy, we'll let it rock, whatever. Something like this, people outraged because of an injustice that's being committed. And now you're like, get the fucking steel wire out, the tanks, everything. Call Goku from Dragon Ball so he could fucking handle these people. I don't know what, like, it's so next level. So that was just like the first thing that was really jarring to see, is just sort of this, the duality of like two situations where municipal buildings are protected or not protected and like what the outcomes are possible, like, or are possible. And the other thing that came out of the Minneapolis thing is the city was going to hire social media influencers during the George Floyd trial to reach out to communities of color with city approved messaging to talk about the case. And people were like, what the fuck is that? They said last Friday, the council unanimously approved a public and safety communication plan tied to the upcoming trials, which paid $2,000 per person to six influencers in the city's Black, Hmong, Latino, Native American, and Somali communities. They scrapped that because everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about? They said it was just to like get information into the communities. Either way, city-funded messaging around one of the most significant trials around racial injustice being right. pumped into communities is deeply problematic. So good for them for figuring that out.
These are people who are probably going to be covering the story anyway. So by adding a paycheck to it and like it being the official city, like, you know, like the unofficial official city approved messaging.
Right.
It just feels like, yeah. I mean, this
yeah,
is...
like, can you imagine? It's like, y'all, is Derek Chauvin invited to the cookout? Like, no. Get the right. fuck out of here. Like, and that's the kind of insidious shit that I can just, you know, not that it's going to be that fucked up, but in a way, just as offensive. The next one is just about how Biden is handling Saudi Arabia, specifically Mohammed bin Salman. Okay, we were talking about an American national, Jamal Khashoggi, was cut up and tortured, murdered on the OK of Mohammed bin Salman. Trump just like let it rock. And we're like, of course he's going to let it rock. But at the same time, I think we can't really trick ourselves too much because the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, like, it's, I don't know when there's going to be any kind of reckoning of this relationship. That clearly did some damage. But, you know, when you look at what Biden was saying and doing, for example, we talked about this strike in Syria against Iranian back facilities and what was going on there. But there's this need to try and get the nuclear deal done, to try and have Iran come back to the table. They're already being crippled with sanctions, but they're saying, release the sanctions as a, you know, a show of goodwill, and then we can begin negotiating. Because right now you're just killing us and then just demanding more. And so you have to kind of see from our standpoint too. It's like, well, if this is gonna be a fight to the death, then we'll fucking knuckle up. Like, that's just how human nature works.
Sanctions are violence. Sanctions are like 100% starving to death.
And, yeah. I mean, and a lack of resources getting to people that need it. So Mohammed bin Salman kills an American. Joe Biden calls it Mohammed bin Salman's dad, the king, first to be like, so here's the thing, you know, we're going to make it hot, I think, but we're not going to do anything. And you're just seeing the way two things are being handled, right? Because on one side, I get there's a lot to talk about and parse through with the United States-Saudi relationship as it relates to petrodollars, how they helped us keep the dollar as like the standard when we're talking about trading petroleum, because that's a huge issue too, on top of being a strategic ally on the region. But the whole thing, whether it's white supremacy or autocratic regimes like the United States, it's like they're so inconsistent. And we ignore the bullshit depending on, like, if it's white supremacy, the U.S. is going to handle it. We have to go down the checklist. What do the people who are perpetrating look like? And what do the victims look like? If it comes to autocrats with a penchant for human rights violations, it's like, well, how much are they spending on arms with us? What can they do for us? And also, what do the victims look like? Because I think one thing is for certain, that if the victims are anonymous or faceless and don't look camera ready, they can die in droves and the needle won't move in this country. Yeah. And that's the same thing with unarmed people of color being killed by police, or maybe the people that are being killed in Yemen by Saudi Arabia. There's just this whole thing of like, well, you know, it's not because see, Jamal Khashoggi was in part of an elite class, so right. had connections to it. So that already changes the game, because at the end of the day, you know, the United States will always, it's hard to say it's always moving consistently in one direction on an issue, unless it's taxes. That's the only thing I could really think of.
On the other hand, nobody likes to have their parents called by the teacher. That's always scary. Yeah. So MBS must have been really nervous when he heard that phone call was happening. That's
right, just locked so up more of his cousins or something.
Right.
But yeah, just the handling of, you know, the other thing is Joe Biden called Saudi Arabia a pariah state when he was running for office.
Really?
Where's that energy, Joe?
Hmm.
But at the end of the day, but at the same time, name a single U.S. president that really fucking puffed their chest up at Saudi Arabia.
Right.
You know, it's a whole other thing. And, you know, and our relationship to Iran was similar, but shit changed because when the Shah, fell out of power, and now we had someone in like anti-American like a theocratic class move into power, then that immediately shifted the relationship. And I think that's the thing that the Biden administration says out loud. Well, we don't want to sanction. We don't want to get too hot because we need them there, because then if they totally turn anti-America, then it's going to be some kind of a very similar thing that's played out with other quote unquote allies in the region.
Right.
Put it simply, you know, the U.S. has three, like, not many options when it comes to Saudi Arabia. They either say, okay, we're done, here's sanctions. That is going to completely push them away. And now you have a country that used to be this place that you could launch all your scary war machines from to scare the other people in the region from. That's gone. And then you turn that into an enemy. The other is just to do what has been happening, which is to just look the other way and be like, well, thanks for the half-assed collaboration on some like anti-terror stuff we do. And then also, I mean, think about it. Like, they didn't say anything after 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
if you just look at the 21st century history of that relationship, it's pretty, pretty wild.
It's the same thing. Like when it comes to those strategic allies and just these partners we have, it's the same thing. Like in Israel in 2010, an American national died of as the UN called it, a summary execution for being part of a flotilla to help like refugees. But again, I don't think there's a single person, unless you're really interested in this area of like the world, that would have heard that in the US, because that's the other part, because it's all like, and the other thing, it's all tied to capital. So it's all fucked up.
Right. Well, speaking of all fucked up, CPAC happened last weekend. Trump had going on the phone on Fox News for a whole evening talking about the legacy of Rush Limbaugh didn't count as his official coming back into the media spotlight. This certainly did. He had the keynote, or like the final climactic speech at CPAC. And, you know, the next morning, Monday morning, barely on the front page of Fox News or Drudge. I don't know. I think part of the problem for him is that he doesn't have any new messaging, like, because personally, like, he can't he can't move on from losing the election, and that
he can't move on from Hillary.
Yeah, exactly. And
also not having Twitter.
Yeah,
you know, just just night and day after that one, like one action that also could have happened a really long time ago, but that's neither here nor there.
And I think it's like there does seem to be a movement on in terms of like people. He's still at 97% job approval with the attendees of CPAC, but only 68% said they want him to run again in 2024, even though he basically announced he was going to during his speech and also announced that he's staying with the Republican Party. But I just don't think there's some movement in this, like, as it becomes more and more of an accepted reality that he lost, and you can't really, there's no evidence that there was cheating. Like, even now, like, Newsmax right. can't even say that the voting machines were rigged.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just think he's playing a weaker and weaker hand as long as he stays on this current note, which I don't know if his sucking like hole where his, you know, sense of self goes is going to allow him to move on from an L like that. So
I wonder if they have some kind of agreement, you know, for him to say I'm staying with the party. Sounds like something I would have negotiated if I was the RNC.
Oh, yeah.
For the, you know what I mean? And like what the terms of that is, which is, okay, we'll continue to try and fucking protect you. But like, just stop saying wild shit. Because the other thing too is like, out of CPAC, there were a few different, you know, like Rick Scott, who I was surprised, the senator of Florida, he was like, Biden won fair and square. Just so we know, I'm just gonna say that out loud here at CPAC. But then there are other Republican politicians too were saying like, we're past Trump. Like, yes, he's part of the Republican Party, but the party can't anymore, no longer be about one person, because that actually affects the ability of every other candidate to be elected. And I think maybe that's like the one thing they're taking from this. It's just like, just, we got to allow the party to be amorphous enough that their first thing isn't, it's whatever Donald Trump is, because that's right. that's their brand issue at the moment.
And of course, there's like a lot of talk of splitting the party now, which feels like such a reality. It's so hard for me to imagine. I mean, A, Trump ever winning again, but B, just sort of like, and maybe I shouldn't say that because that's like some 2016 shit.
Right.
But I don't know. It just feels like I don't see a pathway to success. I mean, do you guys agree with that, or do you think I'm being naive?
I think it's hard to see right now, but I think he's still the most dangerous candidate on either side, because he's got this massive base that is impervious to polling and facts, and he's now the default candidate who gets to benefit from the anyone but the guy in office vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a scary world, because he has such massive name recognition, and all he has to do is like find new talking points. And like, I feel like we're at a very low tide moment right now, because he has been unable to move on from losing, and everybody knows he lost, and so he just looks kind of ridiculous. But to only like 32% of the people at CPAC,
exactly.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. You know, I will never say never when it comes to him and his political.
And he's going to cause a lot more problems, you know, like there's a lot more potential, I think, for violence and sort of like commanding different actions, because it's like, you know, it's like cognitive dissonance. People are never going to give up. I mean, people do, but the hardcore ones, it would cause so much distress to try to change that stance after, you know, the last 5 years of their lives being dedicated to this charismatic leader. It's really, really hard. But that, we saw him lose by so much. It would be really, like you said, he'd have to revise talking points, but it would all hinge again on, like you said, like not Hillary or not Joe Biden. But I don't, I just don't see it. Unless there's some bombshell. But, you know, Hillary was just so, there's so much tied in with her. And Biden is just kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I think the one thing is CPAC, they definitely, the masks are all gone now.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
Yeah.
They have no masks anymore.
That stage design?
dude, the stage dive is a fucking Nazi rune.
Yeah.
Or one of those rune symbols that they...
Right, there's no other explanation. Is there another... I just, as an American history person, it doesn't matter. How many people did that pass through?
Yeah. It doesn't... I'll say this. It doesn't matter what they intended or didn't, and if that was an accident. Because rune, Nazi stage or not, their entire schedule and speaking events were filled with anti-democratic, wannabe autocracy. Like, how do we fuck over our... Essentially, you distill it down to like, how do we win elections when we can't win elections? Or like, how to rig elections because, y'all, the clock is ticking. And if we're going to be a part of this, we're going to have to switch our entire system of governance in this country for us to be able to have a shot at ruling. So with that, Democrats really need to be like, oh, I saw that over the weekend, assholes.
Right,
and
right.
I'm not dealing with any of y'all. Just so you know, this is a quote unquote representative democracy. But if you have one party who's out there being like, oh, yeah, we're here for not this. Like, we're actually here to try and nickel and dime the local constitutions and laws for it to be essentially this minority ruled autocracy or whatever who's president. You got to fucking deal with them like that rather than being like, oh, you know, I'm sure
I'm together.
Yeah. It's just there's a lot going on that side. It's like, no, dude, this is what it is. So now you have to actually address the threat properly.
Yeah, the one messaging that seemed to be consistent top to bottom was trying to fight back against mail-in voting and only right. sick people or people like it. You have to like go through all these steps to legally vote by mail, which, you know, obviously benefits the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And which is basically wild because, voter suppression.
But they don't want people to jump through hoops to buy a gun.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's too much. But if you vote, we can all agree you need to be able bodied, be able to walk, have a job that will let you off. Like, no. But that's how so transparent this shit is. And I wish everyone who's responsible for like reporting it like on a massive scale and in a leadership level would be like, we have to really talk about what this is objectively, and they can go and try and part like mince their words and shit. But like what we're looking at is this. This is what it is.
There's a legacy of this. This is not new. It's been voting has been an issue in every civil rights movement, even if it's like quiet. Right. It's always been. Why wouldn't it be a focal point? And why wouldn't it be something that is an obsession? Because it is the expression of the people, which can be manipulated and has been since 1619.
Right.
And look, and before, you know, with landowners and all that bullshit. But like, it's not, I just don't think it's not surprising. And it's just as everything is just now quiet and insidious and not quite so loud as it maybe was before. But
I don't know. I feel like it is louder, right?
Yeah,
because like, you feel like the Civil Rights Act in 64, like that helped white people be like, okay, we have to deracialize a lot of our racism because that didn't work.
Yes.
You see what happened? Mm-hmm. We overplayed that hand and now they have more rights than we wanted them to have.
Right.
And so that a lot of school choice shit and all this other stuff started coming out because they had to let go of those words. They've now fully, like, it's like they're coming back around to it in like a very less elegant way where it's like the most charged dog whistle language that like at least school choice might confuse somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because it like, sounds like freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the other shit that they're saying is so like on its nose. You're like, are y'all even have you learned? Or you're just being like, this is now they've completely are like, no, we're just relying on our worst habits and instincts now. And that's all this. That's all it was, too. But now in a way that we don't even know how to finesse appearing in public.
Yeah. I mean, dog whistling from a stage that looks like a Nazi rune.
It's not dog whistling, right?
It's kind of hard. That's more dog
pirating.
Even with like school choice, like you said, that is such a dog whistle of tax exemption, like back to, and it's just so weird how we don't talk about the moral majority and the fact that like abortion was a created, manufactured period. Like it was a manufactured outrage. Evangelicals didn't care. In fact, they more supported it because they hated Catholics. But it was like, you know, it was the tax exemption was they didn't want to desegregate their schools, but they didn't want to lose their tax exemption. So they were able to mobilize a conservative Christian vote for the first time in a really long time through abortion, but it was all hiding the fact that they wanted to not have to desegregate their schools. And this is in the 70s, 80s. And that's hidden. It's a hidden thing, and it's covered by school choice, tax exemption, religious freedom, all these different things that we still hear. But that used to be an issue of segregation. And like Bob Jones University, you couldn't date interracially until the year 2000. And they still kept their tax exemption. They used Reagan to try to do it. I mean, this is like, it's not the same thing as voting, but it's like we're talking about. It's like these dog whistles have such history, and you may not know it, but it still can like trigger these sort of like ingrained shit we all have.
The Boston, the desegregation of Boston public schools and the just incredible amounts of rioting and violence and just open war in the streets that happened around that is one of those stories that everybody should go read if you haven't. Because it's like one of those ones where I heard it in my 30s and I was like, how is this not an entire section of U.S. history? But it's because
it deals with race relations
and they like to, anything that makes that issue at the forefront of U.S. history, they like to.
It's just so uncomfortable. It just makes me so uncomfortable. Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's take one more break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and I want to talk about two pop culture icons that are being challenged by Republicans and Democrats. From the Republican side, Donald Trump Jr. is mad. He is TO'd, man. The Muppets have now, this is a quote from him. The Muppets have now been canceled. Apparently the Muppets have now been canceled. There's nothing these psychos won't destroy. Liberalism is a disease.
That was a gagger. I just chopped up a gagger right there.
And then he reiterated that over the weekend at CPAC. This is all based around a disclaimer, brief disclaimer, that has been added to the beginning of some of the episodes of The Muppet Show that was just added to Disney Plus, because some of them have extremely racist puppet characters that are still in the show.
That's what he was talking about. They said, hey, y'all, there's some wild ass racist puppets in here. We're sorry. Just so you know. And he's
exactly
like,
exactly right.
That equals cancellation somehow.
That exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, but that's true. Awareness equals cancellation. Yeah. Awareness, accountability, because it's not cancel. It's accountability. That's what it is.
It's so black and white to them. It's like something's either good or bad, period. Right. So it's like if there's a critique, then it's as if it is entirely bad versus just like, here's a bad thing. Here's, you know, the Muppets saying, we're sorry about this. This isn't good, but it's still even on there, which whatever you can say about that. But I, you know, it's still they're giving sort of an acknowledgement and it's just whatever. The guy's such a fucking doink.
Yeah. But I mean, it's across the board. Also, sorry, one episode features Johnny Cash performing in front of a giant Confederate flag. And they left that in there. Their disclaimer, these stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. Rather than remove this content, we want to acknowledge its harmful impact, learn from it, and spark conversation to create a more inclusive future together. Fox just latched onto this non-story, using it as yet more evidence of cancel culture. One of the hosts on Fox and Friends said, I don't remember the Muppets ever being offensive. Here we are again with cancel culture. And in an interview with Tom Cotton, they asked him about it. Because why ask a sitting U.S. senator a non-puppet-based question in the middle of a deadly pandemic? And the amazing thing, our writer Jam points out that if anyone's been trying to cancel the Muppets, it's conservatives, like, for a long time. When their newest movie, The Muppets, came out in 2011, Fox News aired the segment, Are Liberals Trying to Brainwash Your Kids Against Capitalism? Because the villain of The Muppets was a sleazy oil executive, creatively named Tex Richman. One of the hosts on Fox questioned why the filmmakers couldn't simply have made the villain be someone from the Obama administration. And I quote, I just wish liberals could leave little kids alone. Why couldn't the Muppets have the evil person be the Obama administration? So
the entire Obama administration. Yeah, the entire Muppets.
Then in 2015, this was a real headline on Breitbart. Miss Piggy comes out as pro-abortion. This was because Miss Piggy was given an award for some reason, and when asked if she was pro-choice, she responded, I am pro-everything, which, again, not really a progressive, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's,
That's the most both sides-y shit you could say, Miss Piggy.
Yeah, and...
Oh, I'm with everybody. Everybody? Yeah.
But the 1 million moms...
I cannot believe they still exist. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they launched a boycott of the Puppets ABC show, which was more adult-oriented, but, I mean, come on.
Okay.
So it's not even a double standard. Yeah, find a new angle, asshole.
Well, you know that Sesame Street, obviously, we did an episode called Children's Programming about public education, and Sesame Street was super Jim Henson, obviously, influenced, and it was just a bunch of radical people getting together to try to make television specifically for children of color to see some reflection of their own experiences, and it was really radical, and there were things called, like, hidden curriculum. Like, there were Black psychologists working on this show to sort of just give, like, just a little bit back to children who weren't white, and it was huge. It was outrageous. I mean, there was the pushback was enormous. It was banned in different states, literally because they said things like Mississippi's not ready for this diverse of a cast. So it's like, I know it's not the Muppets, but it's Muppet adjacent. The Muppets, Jim Henson was always, I mean, he's a hippie, you know, he was always, and, you know, he's always been kind of an anti-capitalist and anti-whatever, pro-everything.
Yeah.
I'm not pro-everything.
Yeah.
No, hold on, Piggy, don't say that, no.
All right.
And finally, while we have you, Chelsea, I do want to talk about this latest video game, Panic, which seems like it's a headline from 10 years before this show started. But an Illinois Democrat wants to fight crime with a video game ban. Which video game, you may ask? Grand Theft Auto, of course.
Okay, did Grand Theft Auto come back in some way? Like, did it become mobile? It's just literally from however many years ago the last one
came out. We had the same fucking Grand Theft Auto game over like three consoles now.
Yeah.
Yes. PS3, PS4, and that shit's on PS5. I'm sick of ground. I don't even look at that motherfucker anymore.
I don't know. I've shot down a lot of helicopters with a lot of rocket launchers.
And I haven't
done that yet.
And you get on the train and they can't catch you because you're on the train tracks and the AI and the cops is stupid. So they can never touch you. I get it.
And you can like bar yourself in a store and wait for the five stars to hit you. Yeah.
Right. And then you're out. Why is this person in the year of our Lord 2013 now thinking like hold on. Have you guys seen Grand Theft Auto?
There's been a rise in car theft and carjackings over the last year. Which literally nobody is surprised by because the economy has completely shit the bed and also everybody's wearing masks around. People are like, yeah, of course, it's like we're going to see that. Yeah. We could have told you
crime's
that.
Way up everywhere.
Yeah. So this is out of Illinois where Colonel David Byrd of the Illinois State Police blamed it on there's a social media aspect of it. He said kids steal cars and evade police in order to impress their friends. Presumably there was like a single instance of that that made the local news. And then one of their local politicians said, this carjacking is something out of a video game. And that was all he needed to try and propose this bill. It would include a $1,000 fine for those who sell or rent these games. Again, proving that it was designed in 2008.
You can rent these games.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, man.
I'll shut down this Blockbuster, I tell you.
Yeah.
The moral panic is such a bipartisan event, you know?
Yeah.
It's so many times, like, Democrats and Republicans, it'll be, like, the one thing that they unite over is some kind of moral panic. And it's like Columbine. This happened during Columbine, all the shooting video games. And, I mean, it's happened every time.
Every time.
Every because time always, anything bad happens, it's because it's the teens. One, you can blame the teens, and then you can blame this thing that actually has nothing to do with it. So then you don't have to deal with systemic issues. You can just point to this fucking dumbass thing that's more fun to blame. That's for sure. You know, it's like so much more cinematic than systemic poverty and parents all the different things.
Parents who are a big part of your audience or voter base are already inherently suspicious of their kids. So,
perfect.
I've met enough parents known enough parents growing up who are like, just are dying for this sort of shit to exist.
These moral panics are half born out of A, you actually don't want to address the real issue of a given thing. And the other one is you're so out of touch that you just connected the first dot and you're like, yeah, that's what it was. It's this game. So you're saying there's a lot of crimes of Grand Theft Auto that we're experiencing? A lot of charges of Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Karen, get in here. There's a game called Grand Theft Auto. That's what we have to go after.
The last big Grand Theft Auto release was 2013. They did see an uptick of sales during the pandemic. But they sold far more games in previous years in which there was not a surge in carjacking. So there is also a case that's being made that this is predominantly like young people doing the car theft and carjacking, except it's completely based on just once again proof that the people interpreting crime statistics shouldn't be the police, because they do the worst job of it. Right. So the cops painted this picture of roving juvenile gangs Instagramming their joyrides, but of the 1,416 carjackings that were reported in Chicago, only 188 people were arrested. 106 of them were kids. So if you're taking that as a overall sample of all 1,500 carjackings, you would have some evidence. Oh. But it could be that kids aren't as good at car theft and are more likely to post it on social media, maybe. Yeah.
And this is like a first time. Yes.
Yeah, they're just getting popped the first time.
Yeah.
You know right. what I mean? Then you learn after that one. But like the idea too of just trying to be like, they're doing it to be on Instagram. Like, these are crimes of swag, not yes. crimes of survival.
Yes.
Yeah, no exactly.
Nobody steals a fucking car for the thrill. I mean, I guess maybe they just watch New Jersey Drive or that movie from the 90s or some shit. But like, you do it because you need to make money. And that's how you're going to make money, because for many people, your only financial recourse is extra legal activity.
Right.
Because there's no way for you to survive anymore. But let's not talk about what the options are for these people. Let's say these teens are throwing on a filter to look like a little kitty cat and then taking your Tesla. It's out of control.
To your point, Miles, another thing besides Grand Theft Auto sales that have gone up in the last year, which, again, Grand Theft Auto sales ticked up a little bit, didn't sell as many copies as previous years. On the other hand, unemployment in Illinois has gone up by a whopping 675%. And Illinois' unemployment offices have been closed for the entire year, meaning people who lack access to online services or run into technical problems are pretty much fucked. It's just
all to avoid a real fucking problem.
Yep.
And I mean, the racial dynamics aside of this story, like, it's so simple. I mean, like, you don't need to be a fucking detective to be like, wait, usually people steal because you don't have. Oh, there's an uptick in people who don't have. That's probably what it is. And also, Grand Theft Auto, trust me, the people who bought that, it's motherfuckers like me who got suckered into buying it for the fucking third time. It's not new people getting into Grand Theft Auto. It's like, fuck, I don't have it on this console. I guess I got to give Rockstar more fucking money for this game. I mean, I would love to see the statistic on the number of newcomers to GTA 5 in those numbers, but that's more of a gamer statistic I would like to see.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what happened with as I mentioned, like Columbine and in the school shootings into this last decade is the exact same thing. It was the shooting video games, and that was, you know, so we didn't have to deal with guns. And that was Democrats and Republicans. It's just this way to have a flashy, you know, sleight of hand. I think of it as a sleight of hand, and I don't know how intentional it is or how much these people are just, you know, fucking stupid and totally out of touch, like you said, and how much of it could be I don't want to say a conspiracy, but you know, I think there's something to that. And especially when you're trying to get reelected, your platform's going to be a lot more flashy and interesting to people if the story is, you know, the teens aren't all right versus we have massive unemployment and poverty. It's not.
I'm surprised Republicans didn't blame the uprisings on NBA 2K. Like, with that, by that logic, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, look at the problem. Also, it's because we have too many of these assholes who are not there to actually change outcomes for people. They're just there to win office and stay in office, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, this is an example of somebody being bad at the like politically, you know, shrewd and calculating thing. But I think there's plenty of examples that we're not talking about because they don't necessarily cross our radar in such a don't like splat against our radar the way this one would. But yeah, I mean, this seems to be a good indicator of what the underlying logic is in Congress.
Definitely.
Chelsea, it has been such a pleasure having you, as always. Yeah.
I love being on. Thank you, guys. It's so much fun.
Where can people find you and follow you?
Well, you can go and listen to our show, American Hysteria, on pretty much any podcast app, or you can follow us at Amer Hysteria on Twitter or American Hysteria Podcast on Instagram.
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Well, you know, I kind of buried the lead, but I think just for me, it was Oreos. Trans people exist. I just want to say thank you.
When was that?
So brave. God, a few days ago. I don't know. It was like during the potato folks coming out as trans.
right.
But that's just been a memorable one for me.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember that. I think that was right after their tweet about Fred Hampton Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, can you imagine, though? Why is it that when they connect poor people of color and poor white people, think outcomes change for these civil rights leaders? Anyway, get the new double stuffed Oreos.
Mm. Yeah, that's some people do not want anybody to know.
Which is odd, because like you could just be like, hi, the people that got, never mind. The way we win is together.
Mm. our new rainbow coalition Oreo, where you open it up and it's a rainbow inside.
Oh my god.
Just it's coming.
Don't tell them.
Mark
they're
my
listening.
Words.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh man, Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, also other podcasts, 420 Day Fiance, where we're chatting 90 day. Tweet I like is from Reductress, because it's just so absurd, but somehow like I it's resonating with me. It's a photo of like two people talking. One person is just like sort of clearly listening to the other speak, but with sort of like a vacant eyes. And the text reads, "How to pretend you were listening by answering, 'Hey, Macarena,' in a neutral tone."
Hey, Macarena.
Hey, Macarena.
Can you believe that shit, Jack?
Hey, Macarena.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, yeah, I knew you were on my side.
Hey, Macarena.
I mean, hey, Macarena.
I once was caught by my friends way too late after that song was no longer cool, just very drunk on a dance floor doing the Macarena. Not my proudest moment. Hey, Macarena.
Hey, Macarena, indeed.
Hey, Macarena.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Aaron Chack tweeted, "Yeah, the moon is full of shit." There was a very nice full moon over the weekend. Shout out to the moon. And Mike Ginn tweeted, "It would be crazy if every oncoming headlight you saw on the freeway was its own person with their own life, but thank God that's not the case." you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we recommend you check out. Miles, what song are people checking out today?
Oh, they're going to check out, look, you need some good drumming. You want some Naya Bingi drumming. Mm. If you really fuck with the reggae sounds, get into that. But this track is called Lamb's Bread Kali. And it's Lambs, Lambs, Bread, Bread, Kali, Collie, like Kali buds. And the artist is Cedric I'm Brooks and the Light of Saba. And it's just like, look, I was saying off mic, I got some musical equipment. I've been going through some old records and things I want to sample. I was really looking at this album's great because it's got a lot of deep grooves in it. But this is for anybody who just, you know, needs a little heavy, heavy sound to start your week. This will help you. But also, you know, very enlightening.
Mm. All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.